As announced, the scripture reading this evening will be from Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." Matthew 18, 1 through 6.
Good to be with you again tonight. Hope everyone has had a good afternoon. Maybe got some rest and something good to eat, and good to be back here tonight. We are dealing with a very simple first principle lesson, and we were comparing our lives as God's children to trees. I said that I want to be like a tree. And all of us who are God's children should want to be like trees. We looked at several passages, three to be exact. The last one that we observed was Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. A familiar psalm, the very first psalm, of course. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water." And we should all want to be like that. We should want to be like trees. So I said this morning there were five things that we wanted to look at. This morning we covered two of those things. A tree is something that has been planted. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, and of course, in this point, we are emphasizing the importance of baptism. Paul, in the fifth verse, according to the King James Version, says, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." And so he's emphasizing not so much the resurrection that we will experience in the last day, but the fact that when we come out of the waters of baptism, we raise to walk in the newness of life. We are resurrected, so to speak, to a new life in which our sins have been taken care of, and now we have fellowship with God in the hope of heaven. But it all begins with being planted. And so we went on to make the point that if you haven't been planted, baptism stands between you and being in Christ. Baptism stands between you and being in the kingdom of God. And baptism stands between you and having your sins washed away. Over the years, I have always made the point that all you have to know is what baptism does, and you know whether or not it is essential. All of these things are essential for the salvation of the soul. And since baptism is what helps us to achieve these things, then obviously baptism itself is essential. You want to be saved, you must be planted like a tree. And then the second thing that we looked at is that a tree is something that is rooted. Colossians chapter 2, as you see, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So we looked at three things along those lines. That has to do, those who are grounded and rooted are those who walk in Jesus. And the emphasis was our continual service to God. We must continue to walk in Him. We must live our lives every day for our God. And then those who are doctrinally established, verse 7, we must be established in the faith. The faith is the gospel or the doctrine of Christ, the word of God or the word of faith, all referring to the system of teaching that we have in the New Testament. And we should want to be doctrinally established. It is really quite essential that we are. Because there's so much false doctrine, so many false teachers, the devil is actively working through him. This is how, when Peter says he's seeking whom he may devour, this is how he does it, at least in part, through false doctrine and false teaching. If we're going to survive the onset of the devil, then we have to be willing to study the Word of God so we can be established from a doctrine standpoint. All of us who are God's children should know the doctrine of Christ. Now, obviously, some are going to have a higher level of knowledge than others. But all of us should know the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s of the gospel of Christ so that we can recognize false doctrine when it comes our way. We're not, as Paul said, to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And then we must be steadfast. We must be consistent. We must be reliable. If we are grounded and rooted, that is exactly what we are. Now, for the next few minutes, we're going to look at three more things. I won't spend as much time on these points, so I don't keep you that long, but three other comparisons between the child of God and a tree. The next one is, a tree is something that bears fruit. Of course, if we're talking about a fruit tree, then it is going to bear fruit. If a tree is healthy, in good shape, then you know it's going to bear fruit. And it is essential for that tree to do so. But it is something you can rely on, you can count on. I have a good friend who lives in Miami, Florida, and he has a tree in his backyard, and I just, as I stand before you, my wife's going to have to help me out. What kind of tree is it? A mango tree. I don't know why that just slipped my mind, but because every time I go to his house, and sometimes I hold meetings there, and we stay in his home, and he can't wait to give me a mango because he loves mangoes. But he has a single tree in his backyard. It's a mango tree. He can count on it every single year. It's going to produce outstanding mangoes from Florida. Big, wonderful, great tasting mangoes. But he doesn't worry about it. He doesn't think, well, maybe it won't bear any mangoes. Every year it bears the proper fruit. He had some kind of problem. I think the tree got hit by lightning one year or something. But now it continues even now to bear fruit. That's what good, healthy trees do. You can count on them. But what happens if a fruit tree isn't bearing any fruit? Then you have a problem, don't you? In the passage that you see on the screen, we're told by Jesus what's going to happen to that tree. Notice in this passage of Scripture, we see just how significant it is for all of us who are God's children to bear fruit. This is not something to take lightly. Our salvation, the salvation of our souls, depends on us being like a tree in this regard. Listen to Jesus in John chapter 15 at verse 1. I'm the true vine, he says. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withered, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. We could read the rest of that, but I think you get the point. First of all, we learn a critical lesson in here about abiding in Christ. That goes back to our other point of being steadfast, being reliable, not being wishy-washy. And since Jesus is our strength, we have to be connected to Him. Without Him, we can do nothing, Jesus Himself said. So we have to abide in Him. Why? So that we could bear fruit. Why? Because if we don't bear fruit, we're good for nothing but to be cut off and thrown into the fire. And so bearing fruit is a significant part of our Christianity. We don't have time to talk about all of the fruit that we can bear. We can bear fruit in a lot of different areas. That's very important. But of course, one passage that comes to mind is Galatians 5, where Paul emphasizes the fruit of the Spirit. And so we have a passage that shows us, here's some of the fruit that we have to bear. We must bear the fruit of the Spirit, or we're going to be cut off and good for nothing. And so he says it's love that has to do with unconditionally acting in the best interest of others. There's joy, the pleasure derived from the blessings of Christ. Don't forget, I always say that we sometimes think that our emotions are not in our control, but they are. Like, you can be filled with joy. You can live your life every day with joy. That's within your control. And the fact of the matter is, it is a fruit that you must bear. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Because it is derived from the blessings of Christ, things that don't go away. Doesn't matter how the circumstances of our life are going. As long as we're in Christ, as long as we are abiding, we're going to bear the fruit of joy. We know that we can go to heaven no matter what, and so that joy doesn't go away. Then there's peace, the contentment that comes from our victory in Christ, and long-suffering, the ability to abide under pressure, and gentleness is the kind and gentle spirit of Christ, having that faith, of course, being dependable and, again, trustworthy. The Greek word there is really what has to do with faithfulness. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Being faithful, being dependable, being trustworthy, meekness, the combination of kindness and strength. You remember that's one of the Beatitudes, of course, that we need to be meek if we want to inherit the earth. The temperance of having self-control or having a grip of ourself. Now, many sermons have been preached, even by me, on all of these various things. We find them here and in other places, but this is just an example of the kind of fruit we should bear. When you look at the context of John chapter 15, in that particular passage, he's probably talking about the fruit of winning souls. But we can get out the Bible and we can look and see all kinds of fruit. The point of it is, like that fruit tree that is healthy, that is reliable, we need to be like that. I want to be a tree like that, a healthy tree that is bearing fruit consistently as I live my life. Are you like a tree? Are you bearing fruit? Here's a fourth one. A tree is something that relies on God. That was one of the three passages, Jeremiah chapter 17, that we introduced the lesson with. You might remember what it said. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water. We have to trust in the Lord. We have to trust in God, that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. This he's using the example of the tree, but as God's children, we don't fear the heat of persecution or trials and tribulations when they come our way. We don't allow those things to break us because we're like the tree. The tree doesn't worry about that, for its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. We need to be like that tree, relying on the providential care of God, trusting that He's going to help us and provide for us, not being filled with anxiety and worrying all the time about the various situations of life, just living our life, believing and trusting in God. We need to be like a tree. Trusting not in self. People get themselves in trouble because they spend too much time putting their trust in themselves. Or not trusting simply in man. Man can let you down. Paul said in Romans chapter 3, I believe it is, where he indicated that all men are liars. And that doesn't mean that we're all going around lying all the time, but it does mean that we are all susceptible to lying. So man breaks his promises all the time. We can't put our complete trust in man. We shouldn't put our trust in earthly riches. We shouldn't put our trust in our education or our occupation. We need to learn every day to put our full confidence and trust in the Lord. He's the one that will never disappoint us or let us down. We need to be like that tree that Jeremiah describes in Jeremiah chapter 17. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. I like what the psalmist says in Psalm 62, verse 5 through 8. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock in my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God's rest my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in Him when? At all times. O people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. What a wonderful, beautiful psalm. God is our rock. We need to lean on Him in difficult times. And even when times aren't so difficult, we need to lean on God. We need to trust Him. And again, He will never disappoint us. Who do you put your trust in as you live your life from day to day? Let's be like that big old tree that is solid because it relies on... Just think about trees and their nature. If a tree is going to be healthy, regardless of what kind of tree it is, whether it's a fruit tree or some other kind of tree, there's a few things that it absolutely has to have. It depends on the soil where it's planted and the air around it. It depends, in other words, on the sun shining and the rain falling. All of that, it relies on those things. But where do those things come from? Those things come from God, don't they? So a tree relies on God for survival. We need to be like a tree. As I said, don't put your trust in yourself. Rely on God. Learn to depend upon God. You can have full confidence in Him because He'll never let you down. He'll never lie to you. He'll always keep His promises. And especially when it comes to salvation. When we talk about trusting ourselves, particularly as Christians, sometimes that comes to fruition when we think about salvation. We're relying too much on ourselves for salvation. Do we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling? Yes, Paul in Philippians 2:12 says that we must. Must we be involved in works of faith? Of course, James said that faith without works is dead all by itself. So we understand that we have a responsibility and a duty, but at the end of the day, our salvation, it rests in the grace, in the mercy of God. And we need to trust everything He says in His Word about our salvation. Remember our lesson on last week? We can have confidence in what? Eternal life. Because God has promised it to us. As long as we are walking in the light, as He is in the light, 1 John chapter 1. As long as we are living by this book we call the Bible, being faithful to Him, then we'll be saved in spite of our shortcomings. As long as when we sin, we repent of it and ask God for forgiveness. You're not going to heaven because you're perfect. And as I've often said, it doesn't matter. If you were to live 10 more years, 10 years from now, you're not going to be perfect. If God blesses you with 20 more years, in 20 years, you're still not going to be perfect. You still can't rely on yourself for salvation. You're still going to need the grace and the mercy and the love and the long-suffering of God. And so when it comes down to salvation, especially, we need to learn to trust in God. But with our providential care and every walk of life, we need to learn to lean on God. Who are you trusting? Who are you relying on when you go through life? Here's the final one. And again, we could probably stretch all of these things out, make a sermon maybe of each one of these points. But a tree is something that grows. We know that about trees, don't we? Trees grow. If a tree stopped growing before it reached its maturity, if it's a fruit tree before it got to the point where it could bear fruit, you know that tree is in trouble. That tree is not healthy. We know as children of God, our aim should always be, and I don't really care what stage of your Christianity you're at, how long you've been a Christian, whether you're a babe in Christ or a seasoned saint, all of us should want to be growing and becoming stronger and stronger in Christ. We should never be content with our spirituality. Why? Because there's not a person here tonight who has reached the apex of their spirituality, one who doesn't have any room of growth whatsoever. There's no one here who has already reached perfection. And so our mindset should be, I want to be like a tree. I want to be growing. Peter said in the passage that you see there, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. All of us should be growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You should be stronger now than you were a year ago. That's true about every single one of us. Because the fact of the matter is, either we're growing and going forward and we're getting stronger or we're getting weaker. None of us stay in neutral for very long. You might stay there for a while, but if you're not growing and getting stronger, then you're going to find yourself getting weaker. And so we need to be growing. We don't need to just stay where we are. As we have pointed out many times, there's too many people in Christ who haven't grown at all. Their knowledge isn't any stronger than it was 5 years ago. Their faithfulness isn't any better than it was a couple of years ago. The list goes on. Don't let that be you. I don't care if you're the preacher. I don't care if it's one of the elders. It doesn't matter if who it is in the congregation. All of us should be growing and getting stronger and stronger in Christ. But again, like some other things we talked about, none of that happens by accident. It happens because you determine in your mind, in your biblical heart, you're going to grow. You're going to study more. You're going to pray more. You're going to attend the way you ought to. You're going to do all the things that can help you actually grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Only you can make that determination. I always say that those we talk about babes in Christ, and it's wonderful. We have a couple of babes in Christ right now. And we've all been there. But it is critically important for babes in Christ to grow. Because in those early years, that's where the devil really turns up the heat. And we understand, as I have said, I know I sound negative when I say it, but I always point out, most people who obey the gospel just don't make it. Just a fact. From a number standpoint, and really it's not even close, of people who obey the gospel and then end up going back to the world. Far more people go back than who remain. And it's usually in those early years. If you can get grounded and rooted after you obey the gospel in the first couple of years, pretty soon doing some of the things you need to do to continue to grow, like studying the word and like praying consistently, those things just become a part of your life. And if they become a habitual part of your life, you're going to grow. You know, why do you always talk about attendance? And I was about to say I don't mean to, but I guess that's not right. I do mean to. And because first of all, this is one of our main sources of edification. You remember, of course, that's one of the threefold works of the church. And the primary way that a local church edifies its membership is when we come together like this and worship God and sing and pray and do all the things that we do. And so it's critical, but it's also kind of a sign. It shows who is being faithful, who has committed their lives to God completely. And that is critical. Not only in the early stages, but throughout our walk as Christians, but particularly in the early stages. If you don't get grounded and rooted in the beginning, there's a good chance that the devil will have his way with you. The good news is you can turn that around at any time. Like, as I said earlier, there are some in Christ who have never really started growing like they should. They've been Christians for 10 years, 20 years, and they're still weak in the faith and in many areas. But as long as you have breath, you have the opportunity to turn that around, to start studying more, praying more, attending more, just doing the things that can help you to grow. But that's my decision. That's your decision. Are you going to be stronger a year from now than you are right now? Not by accident, I'll tell you that much. It's not going to just happen. You have to make up in your mind that you want to grow in the grace, in the knowledge of the Lord. You want to be like that healthy tree. That healthy tree is growing. You know, one of the things we did, I guess I'm still here at John chapter 15. I'll read this passage and then we'll close. But I read it a moment ago, but it's interesting that he says at verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And then he says, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So it doesn't really matter where you are. As a Christian, sometimes God has to work on us. Even when it comes down to those branches that are doing well, that are vibrant, that have big green leaves on it, that are growing, they have to be cut back. Because we all develop things in our lives that aren't conducive to continual growth. We all develop, I don't care who you are, we are all develop some bad habits, things that get in the way of our Christianity. And it doesn't mean we're unfaithful, it just means that God needs to do some pruning. And so, but that's a good thing. Because it shows at least you are growing. And that should be the goal of every one of us. And so, other things you might think of, but I want to be like a tree that is planted and a tree that is rooted and a tree that is reliable, steadfast and bearing fruit and growing. I want to be like that kind of tree. What about you? I hope that we're all like trees who trust in the Lord and are going forward. If not, you can do something about that here tonight. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Why not do that here tonight? You're not like the kind of tree that would be called, as Isaiah said, a tree of righteousness unless you first obey the gospel. You can do that tonight. If you believe and you're willing to be baptized, Mark 16 at verse 16, you can become a tree and you can begin growing and bearing fruit and being what God wants you to be. We hope that you'll obey the gospel tonight before it's too late. If you're a child of God and maybe you haven't been steadfast, you haven't been reliable, maybe you haven't been bearing the fruit, even the fruit of the Spirit, you can do something about that. Repent. Ask God for forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Let's do what we have to do to be like a tree. Come forward as we together stand and sing.